So we're at chapter 3 of Amos, and I think I mentioned the other morning that the late Tom Walker delivered lectures on Amos and Hosea when I was at Barber College. And verse 3 of chapter 3 is something that was highlighted and has stayed with me for over 40 years now. It's around 41, 42 years ago when Tom Walker lectured on Amos, and verses 3 down to 6. There's a series of questions, but just to highlight this one question this morning: do two walk together unless they've agreed to do so? Well, the message says, do two people walk hand in hand if they are not going to the same place? And one commentator says, walking with God is probably the best expression for fellowship with God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we're told, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. I just like that that picture, actually, like of God walking in the garden. I think all of us like going for walks, and the scenery around us is absolutely beautiful. But can you imagine what the scenery was like in the Garden of Eden before the fall? And God used to, as it were, take his morning walk in the garden. I just find that a beautiful thought. But sadly, Adam and Eve had failed, and rather walking with God, they were hiding from God. And then in Genesis chapter 5, 23, we have this familiar verse. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years, almost as old as Shan. And Enoch walked faithfully with God. And he was no more because God took him away. And it's that, again, that beautiful picture of Enoch walking with God, and the next step just had to be heaven. And what a, you know, what a glorious picture. It's difficult for us to imagine, isn't it? If you kind of went out for your morning walk, and you thought, okay, I'll take the same route today as I've taken every other day, and I'll just commune with God while I'm walking. And you take one step, you take another step, and you're kind of praying or you're giving thanks to God. And then the next step, you find yourself in heaven. It's quite a thought, isn't it, really? And for Enoch, it seems that's how it was. He was walking, he was fellowshipping, talking with God, and his next step was, as it were, if I could put it this way, on the streets of heaven. And then again, in Genesis 6:9, it just says of Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And in that picture in the New Testament, after Jesus had been crucified, the disciples were disillusioned, didn't know what to do, where to go. They were so downcast. And we're told that there were two people walking back to Emmaus, discussing amongst themselves all that had happened, how their hopes had been dashed. They were hoping that this man would have been the savior of Israel, and he's been nailed to a cross and put in to a tomb. And it says in Luke 24, verses 15 to 16, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And you know the story. I'm not going to do the whole story this morning. Eventually, how they walked with God, they testify once they knew who it was. Did not our hearts burn within us? In other words, while we had this conversation with Jesus, there was something stirring within us. Can two walk together unless they agree? And it's that sense that God desires, has always desired, way back in the Garden of Eden, as I've just said. God desired to walk with Adam and Eve. God desires to walk with you and with I. There's that beautiful verse in Matthew 11, 28, 30, which I've always struggled with, if I'm truthful. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think it's just that last sentence that sometimes I think, well, what's going wrong? Because this burden doesn't actually feel light. It feels a little heavy. And I have to realize and I have to confess, if my burden is becoming too heavy, it's probably because I'm out of sync with the step and the steps of my Jesus. For whatever reason, I'm out of sync and the burden becomes light. Or God gives me the strength to make the burden light when I'm in fellowship and walking with him step by step. It's that sense of the oxen being yoked and walking together so that the load that they pull, they share that load. And if one oxen is not the proper fit to the other, then there's trouble. But when they have the same weight and they both pull in together, the load becomes lighter. And when we are walking with Jesus, it's a sense of being yoked with him, even though the circumstances are difficult. Again, as we mentioned the other morning, that's when we're able to give thanks in all circumstances. When we are yoked correctly with Jesus, when we walk in step with him. Again, that picture of Peter walking on the water to Jesus. And he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. And Jesus picked him up out of the sea. You know, Peter cried out, "Save me." And Jesus immediately lifted up. And the scripture doesn't say where they walked to, other than we suggest that he walked straight back to the boat. And they were in the boat because they walked together. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink with the circumstances. When he was holding the hand of Jesus and walking with him, there was peace. Now, again, we don't know the distance that they traveled on the water. It might not have been a great distance. It might have only been a few steps. But the principle is still there. When we walk with Jesus, when we're that close with Jesus, we can face the storms and we can know his peace and we can know his strength. Do two walk together? Unless they agree. And just to briefly highlight another verse in this chapter, and God willing on Sunday morning, I will develop this thought from verse 7 even further using a different prophet. Verse 7 says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans or his plan to his servants, the prophet." And so we have this picture in Amos chapter 3 of God wants to walk with us and God wants to communicate with us, he wants to walk and he wants to talk with us. Because in a very, very general sense, we've all become prophets of God. Isaiah prophesied concerning John the Baptist 7 centuries before the birth of Jesus. The prophet Isaiah said, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And then in Matthew, it says, "Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there's no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Is greater than John the Baptist. Mm. And when I say in that general sense, we're all prophets, because the message that John was given to preach, prepare the way, the Lord is going to come, is the message that we also now carry, because the Lord Jesus is going to come a second time to this earth. And in that prophetic sense, we have the responsibility of proclaiming that prophetic word that Jesus Christ is coming to this earth again. And so we need to be walking close with God that we might hear him reveal his plans for our lives, for our nation, and for our church. But just hopefully that this thought this morning will bless us. That God delights to walk with us, and he delights to communicate with us.